Sora is shutting down. The extremely advanced AI video making platform that was planned to be a cornerstone of a deal with Disney, guess that shit cost too much to run. It lost like 99% of its users. I'd be interested in looking. Hold on. Sora's user base experienced a rapid viral rise followed by a significant decline after peaking around 1 million daily active users. Ugh. Daily usage settled to around 750,000. 750,000 with 9.6 million total downloads. The app, which saw over 90% of its users drop off within 30 days, is mostly used in the US. That doesn't seem like too much of a drop off. 1 million to 750,000 daily users. That doesn't seem like a huge drop off to me. I don't think that's true. Yeah, is Fruit Love Island made with Sora? It is, right? The user base is not the issue, it's the business model. Yeah, well, this shit's expensive to run. It's as if they were expecting like 500 million daily visitors. Well, the whole pitch that AI companies have been offering people only really makes sense if you get the entire population completely dependent on it, right? That's why they're trying to shove it in everywhere. You know, I was having access problems with a website. It turns out it was the cookies. I had to delete the cookies or whatever to get to the Economist or something. It wasn't loading properly. But I opened up Edge and I realized I'd uninstalled Edge. So I opened up Edge Download to see if it was a browser issue. Microsoft's number one AI platform. That's what they were pitching it as. Edge, their default browser for most computers on Earth. First and foremost, what does it do for you? Well, it's AI powered. There's a fucking dedicated co-pilot button on my keyboard. Just have to hit the goddamn Windows button. I just popped it up. What would you like to do first? How can Copilot help me write a first draft, create an image? Like the Cortana button before? Yeah. Thankfully, you can remap that key for now. Well, you can remap anything, right? Still, Sora shutting down is a huge deal. This is probably the single largest blow to, I guess, the universal propagation of AI that's happened yet. Is the bubble beginning to pop? The metaverse was shut down too after $80 billion with a B was spent. This is a little bit different. Well, it's actually exactly the same. The metaverse was the same as NFTs, which was the same as Bitcoin, which is the same as AI. All of them are vessels for speculative investment. That's it. They all do the exact same thing. Tech guys from Silicon Valley, all of a sudden, it's all they can talk about. They're pitching it. It's the whole future, the whole world, you know? And at the end of the day, it's all a rug pull. They're all the same thing. They're going to do it again with something else in the future. The only thing that makes AI different, the only thing, is that its development happened to coincide with a mildly interesting new kind of technology for a text autocomplete. That's it. They developed an unfathomably expensive, inefficient, and data-guzzling system that was essentially just an autocomplete function, and they were like, that's literally AI, like in the fucking movies, dog. We're gonna run to the markets with this. And they did, and then they made like $50 trillion. That's data from Star Trek, dude! Still, Disney backing out is pretty crazy. OpenAI exits the video generation business just months after it was launched. We're saying goodbye to Sora. To everyone who created with Sora, shared it, and built community around it, thank you. What you made with Sora mattered, and we know this news is disappointing. We'll share more soon. Really? This is a dog shit closure statement. Are you fucking kidding me? Forum moderators who are closing down their forums used by 200 people give more. Like, this is nothing. The difference is the Bitcoin and NFT shit stayed relatively niche, while the AI bullshit stayed around long enough that it entered everyone's lives to some extent. That is true, but keep in mind, and I'm telling you this is real. If they could have gotten away with it, they would have forced you to use Bitcoin for all online transactions. They couldn't because it would have been a step too far, but in order to force you to be reliant on it, they would have. They would have been like, this is the only way to engage in the digital economy now, man. Who cares about gas fees? Do you have any idea how secure a goddamn cryptocurrency transaction is? And you would need to like, you would need to like transfer $100 into your crypto wallet, and then you'd have to use that to buy pizza or whatever. Interestingly, the head of NVIDIA is claiming they have made AGI. That is because Silicon Valley tech leaders are insane. They are genuinely delusional, and they are part of a doomsday cult where they think their job is to be a kind of like priestly tech caste that invites in the singularity. I'm not joking. These people are actually fucking insane. Tech priests? Don't give them that. They haven't earned it. I'm not sure if a majority of those folks fit the description you just gave, but sure. No, I'm serious. There are articles on it. There are some really good write-up pieces on how, like, behind the scenes at their famed Silicon Valley peptide-snorting tech parties, these people, you know, chewing through their amino acids, they talk to each other, and they genuinely act like they're the... They act like they're Oppenheimer. They act like they're all the shepherds of a new era where a singularity, AGI is going to descend upon mankind and fundamentally rewrite reality. And coincidentally, a lot of these people are libertarian or fascists who think that AGI will rewrite the world in their image. Like they will be the beneficiaries. This is the ideology of people like Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. The idea that technology exists as a kind of divine spark that is meant to metaphysically justify their rule. It's real. That's real, by the way. I know that sounds crazy, but like it's real. No, I'm talking about the leadership, not about everyone working in the industry. Though the industry does have a lot of people like that in it. Why is everyone in a death cult? Because nobody can imagine the future. Every vision of the future now is post-apocalyptic. All of them. All media. Cartoons. Movies. Television. Here's a setting in 2070. What does it look like? It's the post-apocalypse. Or a cyberpunk dystopia. Nobody can envision a good future. You could back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. But after the end of the Cold War, I mean it. After the end of global competition for the world, when it became clear that there was no competition, one group of people rules the world, and they have a vision, and they are enacting it, and that is not a good one. Everyone understands this on some level, even capitalists, fascists, everyone understands this. They know the direction the future is taking. They know that we have at our fingertips unrivaled economic and industrial power. We could build any future we wanted to, but we won't. A future has been chosen for us. People don't envision themselves stopping the apocalypse. They imagine themselves taking control of it. Is this Thiel being the Antichrist?
Change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics.
That basically sums it up right there. A little bit too honest, you know? Politics is difficult because you have to convince people who disagree with you that your way is best. What would be best is if you could just technologically impose. It's like a rape fantasy, but on a global scale, you know? No longer, you don't have to convince anyone that you're right. You merely impose a global order where you're right by default. You know, you don't need to other people's consent. It goes beyond authoritarianism, too, because authoritarianism is still politics. An authoritarian leader still has to convince the people around him that his existence and rule is beneficial. That's not the case with Palantir, you know? So postmodern authoritarianism, this has nothing to do with postmodernism. It's more like even authoritarians require on some level consent of the governed. Every government ever has. But Palantir and the stuff like Palantir represent an alternative. A future, well, hey, to go back to a previous term, of managed democracy. Sure, you can vote. The outcome won't really change. You're asking for different outcomes within a very narrow window. And the real outcomes, the real arc of history, is an unchanging one. And it's being directed by a techno-fascist cult that really likes money. Catholic Church discussing if Thiel should be burnt at the stake. Finally, somebody's asking the big questions. American heresy. Should Peter Thiel be burnt at the stake? A formal essay by Father Paolo Benanti, a Franciscan friar who serves as the Pope's official advisor on artificial intelligence. Hey, he's just asking questions. The essay's central charge is striking. Thiel's actions can be read as a prolonged act of heresy against the liberal consensus, a challenge to the very foundations of civil coexistence, which he now considers outdated. Damn, Catholics are the real Christians, huh? Yep. Protestantism is fake, and also heretical. I'm a bit behind Vosh, but I'm in software engineering, and the insanity with which HR and execs are pushing AI on us is beyond parody. AI usage is the only metric they care about, even as bugs increase and quality declines. That's because they're slaves to capital. They understand what their real job is. All your managers are being pressed by people above them, and they're being pressed by the people above them. And the goal of all these institutions at the top is to make AI the world, because they're just trying to go for the big bubble. That's it. They know it's a bubble. They know it's going to pop. They know they're not doing anything. They know it's useless. They know it's not going to work. They're not trying to make it work. They're just trying to make everything as loud as possible for as long as possible to get the money they can before the bubble pops. People often make the mistake of assuming that when bubbles pop, wealthy people suffer. But after 2008, after, you know, the Great Depression, the people who were wealthy before the pop then went on to buy up all of the broken down, bankrupt assets of the businesses adjacent to them. They consolidated. It's good for them. Like Epstein said while talking to Peter Thiel in his email with Peter Thiel, funnily enough. What's the difference between Thiel's and your own disillusionment with democracy? They're essentially incomparable. My disillusionment is that the political and media environment is so capital controlled that it's almost impossible to like open the Overton window to the point that it needs to be open, that we're careening towards apocalyptic conditions faster than we can manage them. And there's no way to change it because the democratic apparatus has been deliberately hamstringed to prevent any kind of action from taking place. Thiel doesn't believe in humanity. He doesn't like democracy because he doesn't like people. I love people. That's why I believe what I believe. I think we're in an inhuman system that has shackled us to an inevitable outcome, even as the odds of us making out of the, you know, next century or two unscathed get worse and worse. His goal is to bypass humanity itself. Humanity is just a great big factory producing wealth and power for him. I believe we've been shackled to a system that is preventing us from acting quickly enough. Those are extremely vague things to use in a debate, though. Hates humanity. He does hate humanity. Do you have any other explanation for that Antichrist clip? He absolutely hates humanity. He does. We are ruled by pedophilic, narcissistic, egomaniacal, like doomsday cultists. They are doomsday cultists. They are not normal people. They are not like you. Peter Thiel especially, yeah, they hate people. Just a reminder for posterity.
I suffered through Ross Douthat's interview with Peter Thiel because I'm a sick person. And there's one clip that's been going around, and in case you guys haven't had this, just the experience of being able to listen to this moment, I want to share it with all of you.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I...
Yes?
I don't know. I would...
This is a long hesitation. This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Yeah.
it's a joke. I don't know. Like, if there was a story where an evil alien who wanted to destroy the planet was masquerading as a human, they wouldn't take that long to say, yeah. And this is what we have to deal with. These are the people who rule this fucking country. Well, I mean, it's complicated. It's really not. It's not even a little bit complicated. If you are an incredibly powerful and wealthy government contractor who works to build out a surveillance state and somebody asks you a question like, do you think the human race should survive? No, because what do you mean it's called? It's not even remotely. It's like the least complicated question in the world. It's unimaginably simple. Like there are few questions I could imagine with fewer caveats than that one. How is it simple? They should survive. Yeah. Humanity should persist. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Pretty much no matter what. Yeah. What's your opinion on misanthropy? Misanthropy is an Epsteinite ideology. This one actually was a big story.